takes the time and to teach me and Amy and to show us things and teach us things, because most of you know that before I was saved, I couldn't live a life. I was a drug addict, alcoholic, homeless, gangbanger, been in jails and prisons in 3 different states in the United States, been in mental hospitals, rehabs, you name it. My mother's here to vouch for the type of person that I used to be. I just couldn't live in this world on my own. I was a mess. I made a mess of my life. I have 5 children all together. I've been divorced twice, and you name it, and I've been through it. But see, the Lord has been merciful, and He's been good to me, and He changed my life. He came in and He saved me almost 4 years ago, and He's made a family. He's made a family who loves the Lord. We serve the Lord. He just keeps us in the ministry, doing things that He would have us do, and it's been life-changing. I now live a life that I never thought possible. I didn't sit back a couple years ago, yeah, you know what, I'm just going to go out there and I'm going to just be a Christian. That never crossed my mind. Being a Christian was ever part of my life. My mother and other people sit back and go, my goodness, I just can't believe He is who He is today. It's because, you know what, it took more than me to make me into who I am. It took, it took Jesus Christ to come into my heart and my mind and to make me into who I am. And just to get the record straight, Christianity is not for the weak-hearted. It's not for the weak people. People think, oh, you're just doing the Christian walk because you need something to lean on. Let me tell you, I need nothing to lean on. I carried myself for 40 years. I lived the way I lived for 40 years, and I didn't need anybody to help me do it. I need somebody to live my life the way I do today, and His name is Jesus Christ. He's the reason why I live the way I live today. He's become my drug. He's become my alcohol. He's become my deliverer. He's the one teaching me how to be a father. He's the one who's teaching me how to be a husband to my wife. He's the one that's teaching me how to live my life on a daily basis. Because it was obvious that I could not do it on my own. And I thank God for it. I thank God for His mercy and His grace. I thank God for what He's done. I thank God. A lot of hard things that happened to me is, for all those years, I was a fighter. I like to fight on the streets. I like to get myself involved in that stuff. And now, one of the biggest challenges to me now was how to handle people, how to deal with people when they're screw-facing me and when they're looking at me like they want to say something to me. You know, the Lord has to give me grace to shut my mouth and to say, Dale, you were there one time. Who am I to run my mouth off on somebody when I was there? I understand what people are at. You know, and I believe that's why Jesus Christ saves every person where they are, and He takes them for where they are, because there's people out there that you can touch. There's people out there that they don't understand. We were at Pastor Haynes' house yesterday, and we were talking with Miss Haynes, and they said, Dale, we just can't understand where you came from. We don't understand what you've been through. But God knew that He could use me for those people who are in that situation. That's why He called me into the ministry. He called me out from that stuff. Listen, God is not so weak that He can't call me out from that stuff. He called me out of that stuff so that I can go out there and help people that are in that situation. Why? Because I understand their heart. I understand their motives. I understand their desires. I have sat in that seat. I know what it is. I know what it's like to be in that place. When you're looking at me, you're not looking at somebody who learned anything from a book. I didn't sit in college to learn a school of hard knocks. I didn't grow up in the country. My whole life I've always lived in cities, big cities. Wherever I lived, it was always a city. I didn't grow up in the country. I grew up in the streets. I grew up in jails and prisons as a little guy. I was put in Father Baker's home. That trained me how to be a better convict. That's what it did. And the more I went to jail, the more I went to prison, the better I got at things. The more I went out there and I used my skills for the wrong reason. Now I'm using them for the right reason, because it took a heart change. There was never anything I could have done. 7 years ago, I was taking 19 psychotropic pills a day. They told me, oh, you're just a lost cause, man. I mean, they had me in all this medicine. They kept calling me crazy and calling me this and that. You know, and finally one day my wife was there. I laid on the couch in the psychiatrist's office. And he said, Mr. Morey, there's nothing else I can do for you. That was the open door for Jesus Christ to come in. You know what? I take none now. I don't take a pill in my... I don't have a psychotropic pill in my body. And I'm not saying they're bad. If somebody's on them, good. I'm glad it helps you. But for me, all it did was cover the sins. All it did was cover my conscience. All it did was quiet it up enough for me to be able to live a life. And it was horrible. It was blocking what Jesus Christ was really trying to show me. It was blocking. That's all it did. But he took me off. I don't take any now, and I live a life just fine. Don't you think I live a life just fine, Amy? I'm happy. I have joy in my life. I don't need beer and everything else to go out there and make me happy anymore. I don't need any of that garbage. And I'll tell you, it's garbage because you know what it did? It ruined my life. Alcohol and drugs ruined my life. And I don't come down on anybody for it because I understand the position they're in. So don't you ever stand up here and say, oh, he just puts me down because, no, I'd never do that. I don't put a person down because they smoke cigarettes and all that. I just quit smoking. It'll be 2 years this May. Now you ask me, do I ever put anybody down for that? No, I do not. Because I was in that position. I know what it's like. I know the struggle. But I can be here and help you. That's what I'm here for. I want to help somebody. That's what God saved me, to help somebody. He didn't save me just to what he gave me. He didn't say, here you go, Dale. Now you're saved. You hold on to that and just go and live your life. He said, no, I saved you so you can go out there and help people. And that's what I want to do. I want to help somebody. So hopefully there's somebody in this room today that gets some help from the Word of God. Get some help from the Word of God. The Lord gave me this message. I'm going to be preaching four times today, which is the most I've ever done. But that's just what the Lord ordained it for me to do. And I've never done it. But you know what? He gave me the message just to preach all four times today. I could never sit there and come up with these things. I look at my wife and I go, where did that come from? Where does this stuff come from? I don't have the brain to think of that stuff. Trust me. I have a drug addict's brain. It's burned out. It's used up, man. I mean, trust me when I tell you that I have a hard time sometimes even talking. So where does this stuff come? It's not from me. It's from God. It's from His Word. That's what it does. It's very powerful. So I'm going to start. It says, what happens when a person gets saved and are created in Christ Jesus? What happens? The Bible says that we are created in Christ Jesus. So if we're created in Christ Jesus, we're going to look at the points of what happens when a person gets to that point. They're saved, and now they are called, created in Christ Jesus. And if you would, turn with me to Ephesians 2. We're going to start in Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. We're going to start in verse 10. And I'm just going to, while you guys are turning there, I'm going to read some. This is first at salvation. We see what happens to someone who is created. That means never existed before. When you're created in Christ Jesus, when you're a saved person, that person in the flesh may have existed, but the person that's in you now never existed before. You're created in Christ Jesus. You have become a new creature. That's what the Bible says. That means you've never existed until that day. Your flesh might have been here. The way you look might have been here, but who you are has never been there. You're created in Christ Jesus. You're something new. Ephesians 2:10 through 13 says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in this world. There was a time before 4 years ago that I was in this world without God and I had no hope. My life felt like it was at a dead end, that I was going nowhere. My next stop was going to be another prison bid or death. That was my only altar. I had no hope. I could not see beyond what I was caught in. I could not see that there was any hope, that there was a light. When you always hear that phrase, well, there's light at the end of the tunnel. And I didn't understand that light was Jesus Christ. I did not know that. I did not know that there could be something totally different than the life I was so used to and so caught up in and so I was into. I mean, I was so into it. I lived the lifestyle. And I'm just going to tell you, hip-hop music, that stuff, that, you know what that was? That was my Bible. I lived that. I breathed it. And that's what I wanted to be. That's who I wanted to be. The death metal. I got death metal bands tattooed all across my back. Obituary and Cannibal Corpse and all that. I have all that stuff tattooed all over me. Because that's what I thought was life, and it was actually death. It was death. I was heading for death. I had no hope. As that says here, that I was without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. Verse 13, but now in Christ. But now in Christ. Here we go. Now we're going to see what it means to be created in Christ Jesus. Verse 13 says, but now in Christ, ye who sometimes were far off, made nigh by the blood of Christ. That right there is the new birth of a believer. Being created in Christ Jesus. Before that, you were in this world with no hope, and now you're something new by the blood of Jesus Christ. Dale Morey could never do what's going on in my life, ever. You know what? I can't live a day without Christ directing my life, or I mess it all up. Mess it all up. Yes or no, Amy? You know that. But here's the difference. I don't turn to myself. I don't turn to this world anymore for directions because I mess it up. But I've been created in Christ Jesus. I've been given something new. I've been given a new hope in this world. In this very world. In this very world with depression and drugs and alcoholism, and everybody's doing everything else to try to get out of the pain that they're in, that depression. Everybody goes, well, I'm not always depressed, but when you are, you tell me, how lonely are you sitting in a crowded room? How lonely is it out there being that you have nothing? You're just floating around from place to place, from this to that. I mean, how lonely is that out there being that way? That's a very lonely place to be, but it don't have to be. I try to get out there and I try to minister to people and tell them, listen, Jesus Christ wants to give you something different. How bad do you want it? How bad? I know what I wanted to fix. I was a meth head for a long time. And what I wanted to fix, there was nothing I wouldn't do to get it. Nothing. People say they want to change life. How bad do you want it? How bad are you going to go after it? What's that desire? How bad is that desire in your heart to really have what Jesus Christ can give you? Well, I've tried that before. You tried it, but have you lived it? Trying it and living it is totally two different things. Giving your heart fully over to it and just trying it out once in a while is a totally two different thing. People say, well, I believe the Bible. Believing the Bible and living the Bible is two different things. It's totally two different worlds. But when you're created in Christ Jesus, you have that desire in your heart now. That new person. I lost my place here. We've been ordained by God. We're Gentiles without the law, as the Jews, and have become their unbelief. Because of their unbelief, we are grafted in. I skipped a part here, and I'm not sure what happened. My notes didn't turn out right. But it says, wherefore remember that being in time past the Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision. Talking about the Jewish people, they looked at us and we were uncircumcised. We didn't even have a place in God. Okay? We were just Gentiles. We're out there floating around. And what the next point was, because of the Jews' unbelief, we've been able to be grafted in. We've been able to come into what you know. It's not that God didn't love Gentiles. It's not that he didn't, wasn't going to make a way. He knew what was going to happen. But his chosen people was always the Jewish people, Israel. And because of their unbelief, we've been given a way to get in. We've been given a way to get in. And let me just finish reading this. But now in Christ Jesus, you were sometimes were far off, were made nigh by the blood of Christ. Number one, we have been created unto good works, which God had ordained. God ordained that when a person gets saved, they're going to go out there and do good works. Good works can't save you. Let me just tell you that right now. You can't go out. You can go out there and be as nice as you want. Go out there and give money to anybody you want. Go out there and help anybody you want. And your good works are going to be nothing. You know what it says your righteousness is? As a filthy rag. A filthy rag is talking about a menstrual rag. That's what your righteousness looks like in the eyes of God. So your goodness can't do anything. But it says here that we are created unto good works by who? By the blood of Christ. Now we go out there by Him ordaining us. Now we go out there by Him sending us. That's how we go out there. I don't come to Amity here on my own will. I don't preach at Black Creek Baptist Church on my own will. I preach that because Jesus Christ sent me here. He's the one who saved me and gave me the works to do. I pray every single day, Lord, please. Never let me go out there and do anything for anybody in my own power because I will destroy your life. Without Jesus Christ, I can destroy your life just as well as you can. and I can destroy my life just as fast. That's that new creature. That's that new person that he has given you. That's that new ordination he's given us. Is to go out there and him, by him, what's it say? Let me read that again. We have been created unto good works which God has ordained. God ordained the good works that I do. Dale can't ordain the good works because I don't know good works. For 40 years I did do bad works for bad things. I'm learning how to do good works now. I'm learning how to get along with people. I'm learning how to love people. Jesus says that we're going to go out there. You know, thank God somebody loved me because I was unlovable. I was unlovable. Nobody wanted anything to do with me. My mother, she's my mom. Naturally, she was going to be there. But that's about all I had in life. Because nobody else wanted me around. I wasn't invited to Christmas parties, Thanksgivings. I didn't have family's phone numbers, addresses. The only way I knew any of that would have been through my mom. But now it's totally different. Now it's totally different. They all have my addresses, phone numbers. I'm invited to places and everything else. Not because of me. Number two, we were Gentiles without the law, as the Jews had, and because of their unbelief, we've been grafted in. Romans 11:20 says, well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he spare not thee. We were without Christ. We were without Christ. The Jews, because of their unbelief, we are able to come in. He says, don't go ahead and be all puffy. Because if he didn't spare the natural branch, how much would he spare us? God forbid if we walked around as Christians and did that to the Jewish people. Picked on them, made fun of them, thought we were better than, because you don't believe we're better, we're grafted in. Now God said if he didn't spare them, he ain't going to spare you. It's because of their unbelief. And I thank God that, thank God that I'm grafted in. We were without Christ and aliens, which means at salvation, we had to become a creature that did not exist before salvation. This Dale Morey that you see today did not exist before the day I got saved. It just didn't happen. Wasn't there. I was a person that people just didn't want to be around. I was a person that people just did not desire to be around. Didn't want to be, near. It got to the point where it was getting pretty bad for me and my wife to even live together. She would pray that, Lord, I love Dale. I don't want to leave him, but if you kill him, it'd be better off. That's how bad I was getting to her. For Luke's first few years of life, every time I'd walk by him, he'd do that kind of thing. Not that I ever beat him, but just the voice, the yelling, the screaming, the stuff that I used to do in front of him, it would scare him. So now every time I used to walk by him, he'd go, he don't do that now. He didn't do that now. Now he's opening his arms, coming running to me, sitting on the chair with me. Yeah, I love my kids. I hug my kids. I cuddle with my kids. I call them up just to sit in the chair with me, and we just sit there and cuddle and talk. And that's the relationship we have. And you know why I correct my kids? You ask them if they don't get their rear ends wore out. They get their rear ends wore out, but you know what happens? I let them do what they got to do. Calm down. After they're calm, I'll come back in and I'll talk to them. Say, we got everything straight. Yes, we have everything straight. We'll give them a kiss. Me and Luke shake hands, hug. Everything's forgotten. That's it. It's over. I have to hold on to all that garbage. I can tell you this now. That wasn't always in me. I walked away from 3 other children. They're in their 20s, having their own kids now and everything else, and I was never in their life. Never had a part of their life. I just thank God the other day. I said, Luke gets to experience something that I never did. And that was have a loving dad in his life. He gets that. I thank God because God gave Luke a dad that he can enjoy. God gave Luke a dad that he can hug and love and look up to. That's what Luke got. He's special. Autumn's special. Why? Because she has a dad in her life. She has a dad and a mom in her life that she gets to enjoy that I didn't get to enjoy. Thank God for that. You ever think about that, Mercy, Amy? What they have, that's being created in Christ Jesus. That's that new person. People look and go, well, God said, I don't think that can ever happen to me. Is God so weak that he can't do it? You just don't believe God. I'm just telling you. There is no way you can tell me you believe God and nothing can happen in your life. You can't tell me you believe God has power and he can't change your life. You can't tell me that. I'm sorry. I won't believe it. I know the power of God rests in my life because of the changes that happen. The things that are going on. So we're created in Christ Jesus. And we were, number four, and we were without promise, hope, and God in this world without Jesus. So being created in Christ Jesus is a new person on the inward parts that had never had these things until saved by Jesus. We see this new created man in Ephesians 4:22 through 24. It says that you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and holiness. So with that, see here, there was an old man separated from God, separated from the law, separated from his promises, separated from his hope, which is in the flesh. But there's a new man created in Christ Jesus, which is the inward man, which God is the most, he's the most interested in the inward man. If the inward man is created after Christ Jesus, the outward man will follow. I didn't start changing my appearance before I got saved. My appearance didn't start changing. The way I acted and talked to people didn't change before salvation. After salvation, this stuff came natural to me. My wife knows. My mother knows. It would have been a miracle if you would ever saw me with a collared shirt on. It took my uncle's death for me to put a collared shirt on just to go to his funeral. This is not the type of person I was. After salvation, that's what I wear. That's what I enjoy. It's not grievous to me. It's not hard for me to dress. And let me tell you, I don't dress for a single person in this room. I don't dress for a single person in Black Creek. I don't dress the way I do because I want to impress anybody. Because, God, you know what? I can care less what people think about me. I live my life for Jesus Christ. He's the one that matters to me. I do the things that I do because he matters to me. What he thinks matters to me. And therefore, these things happen. But if I didn't have that new inward person, nothing would ever change. Guess where I would have been? Still in this world, lost without hope. Lost without hope. The times I hear people over and over and over again say, I want help. Please help me. And then you go to guide them and direct them into that help and they don't want it. Then you know what? You don't want help enough. Because it finally took me laying on my back, the lowest that I've ever been in my entire life, laying on my back, looking up, going, oh my gosh, how did I get here? That's what it took for me. The prison didn't do it. Rehabs didn't do it. The love that my kids had for me didn't change me. Jails and prisons didn't scare me. The streets didn't bother me. None of that stuff had an effect on my life. It wasn't until Jesus Christ showed me one time what me and him were, how I stood in front of him, and I realized, oh my gosh, how did I get here? And I was saved. I've been saved ever since. Ain't that something? Things have been steadily changing in my life since then. Not by my power. My whole life, my whole testimony is the proof that I could not have done a thing on my own. But that new man that's created in me, that's where the power comes from. So he says here that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. That conversation there, he's not just talking about how you talk, he's talking about your whole life. That you put off the former conversation. The lifestyle that you used to live, the things you used to say, the things that you used to do, those are the things he's talking about, not just what comes out of your mouth. The former conversation, that means those things that are past. Could you imagine if here I am, I'm going to walk around and I'm going to claim myself a Christian, but I'm still going to drink alcohol, smoke weed, fornicate, treat my wife and kids any old way I want, ignore the Bible, and yet I'm a new man in Christ? Either one, God is so weak that he can't change you, or number two, you just flat out missed it. Because I tell you what, for quite a few years, I thought I was saved. I got underneath some good Bible preaching, and I realized, my goodness, a saved person doesn't stay the same that they are. A saved person doesn't stay the same old person. Why would God save me and leave me the same person that I was? Why would I have need to be saved then? There was no point for me to get saved if he was going to save me and leave me in the same condition and leave me as the same person that I was. What's the point of salvation? What's the point of it? Ah, that's the new man. That's where Jesus Christ steps in and that new person comes alive. Then you start realizing, wait, my desire used to be this way, but now there's something new going on over here. Now I have a desire for this. It can't be of me. It has to be of God, because I would have never desired that in my life. That's something? I would have never desired to dress the way I dress in my entire life. It just would have never happened. I would have never desired to be a dad to these two children. Never desired it. And it's proof in my past life. I would have never desired to be want to be faithful to my wife, who I love, and I think she's more beautiful today than the day that I married her. I'm more in love with her now than I ever have been. And we've been married, how long? We've been together 13 years? 13? I ain't been with a woman more than 13 hours.
13 minutes.
My goodness. And I'm with this woman 13 years and I love her. I cherish her. I do everything in my power to do what I can to make her happy, her house happy, to run that thing the way it should be, to stay faithful to the Lord no matter what, to stay strong when she's weak. That's a new desire the Lord put in my heart. That would have never happened. Ask my mother about the women she seen me beat till they were bloody in front of her in her own house. That's the kind of man I was. That's the kind of man I was. You ain't no man. Put your hands on a woman, you're a little wimp. My pastor, you know my pastor used to look at me? You guys know Pastor John. He'd look at me and go, Dale, you're nothing but a godless little wimp. You know what? Telling a street thug something like that could get you hurt. My wife thought I was going to knock him out quite a few times. She said, Pastor, you know, I was scared for you because I really thought he was good. Because that's just the type of person I was. I'd just whack you. I don't care if you could beat me or not. But when I started hearing the truth, it started opening my eyes. You know, after he called me a guy of the swamp a few times, I sat back after I was done being angry and wanting to kill him and cussing him out and everything else. I sat there and I looked at Amy. I said, you know what, Amy? He was right. Teddy, you can't say that to anybody because you hurt my feelings. You need to have the truth told to you. You know how you're going to get the truth? Somebody's going to stand up and tell you the truth. And you know what's going to happen? You need to face it and stop being a little wimp. That's how I faced it. You said, tear me up. But I knew. I just knew that when I raised my fist back and I was going to blast him, and he looked at me and said, Dale, if you hit me, it's not going to change my love for you. I knew there was something inside that man that I had to have. You know what was inside of him? Not John Asquith. Jesus Christ. The love of Jesus Christ he had in him. And I've never seen it to that effect in my entire life in this one person. He handed me a credit card and told me to go put gas in my car. I'm looking at him like, are you crazy? I will steal everything on that card. I brought it back with a receipt and I didn't take one dime more than I was supposed to. Because I seen, my gosh, he's giving me a chance. There's somebody who's seen something in me. He didn't look at me for Dale Morey. He looked beyond that and see what Jesus Christ could do for me. He never forced anything on me. 4 years I sat underneath his preaching. 4 years before the Holy Ghost got in there and tore my heart up. And I came to the altar at my house. I was in my living room. And I came with a broken spirit. And not just a broken heart, but a broken and contrite heart. That's when I got saved. Hey, how many of you have had a broken heart in this room? Let me just tell you this. We all come to the point where we have a broken heart. Here's what God wants. Psalm 51 says he wants a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Why the contrite heart? Because he wants you to see where you stand before him and what you're doing and how you're destroying yourself and how you destroyed the relationship between you and him. He wants you to be sorry for it. Why? Because once you come to that point where you have a contrite heart, you no longer desire that anymore, but you're desiring the things of Jesus Christ. So many people run up to the altar with a broken heart and walk out with no changed life whatsoever. Oh God, thou wilt not despise, is what it says. Broken spirit, broken and contrite heart, oh God, thou wilt not despise. That's what he wants. He needs to bring a person to that point. And when that person comes to that point, guess what? You're created in Christ Jesus. Now you have the new desires. Dale Morey could, listen, the Bible says that a heart is wicked, desperately wicked. That means if we were walking in down the alley, and my heart was walking down the alley, and there's Satan, he would have to bow down to my heart because it's even more wicked than himself. Do you realize that the devil doesn't have to touch much of us? He don't have to go in there and get involved in our lives very much. Why? Because we do it with our own hearts. People say, oh, you know, the devil ain't making you do it. That's your heart doing it. I'm not saying the devil doesn't get in and help. But most of the time, he just has to sit back and watch because we do it ourselves. That's something? So, and my heart was a wicked heart. Something had to happen to that heart. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Another thing that gets created in Christ Jesus is Psalm 51:10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Why does David ask for a clean heart? Because man is born with a wicked heart. Man is not born with a clean heart. And being born with a wicked, law-breaking heart brings eternal separation from God. I'm sorry, but here's the truth. You're not born with a good heart. You're born with a wicked heart. Let me tell you, this is what brings the separation from us and Jesus Christ, is your heart. That's the sin nature that's in you. People ain't going to hell because of their sins, S-I-N-S. That's not what's going to put you in hell. What's going to put you in hell is the S-I-N nature, sin nature, that makes you do those things, that has a separation between you and God, and the only way to take care of it is the blood of Jesus Christ. We just seen that in the very first thing that I preached. You're created in Christ Jesus by what? The blood of Christ. That's the only thing that can ever fix that sin nature. That's the only thing that can ever bring you hope in this world. It says that we were without hope in this world, but now we can have hope in this world through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's something. We have hope. It can get discouraging, get hard times, don't it? But always, you know what? We always have hope. He always just seems to bring us out of that miry clay. Tell me he doesn't. Doesn't last long. There's a hope. Jeremiah 17, verses 9 and 10 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know it? Ready? Verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. What's that saying? We're born with a desperately wicked heart. Our heart is absolutely wicked beyond all wickedness. Who knows it? God. He says, so with that, look at your life. If your life will prove to you what your heart is, your life will prove to you what your heart is all about. Look at your life and see what's been going on in your life. That comes from your heart. He says he's going to reward you for the fruit of your doings. You know what that means? Oh, God's so mean that he would throw us in hell? No, he's not mean. He went to that cross and died so that you wouldn't have to. Your choice. It's you that chooses to go to hell, not him. Why do you say that? Because he chose to go on the cross and die for every single person. If you do not accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you're the one who chose to go to hell because of your wicked heart, not him. He's not a mad, mean God who just wants to break you up and tear you down. That's not what he wants to do. He sees beyond anything any man can see. Trust me when I tell you that. You don't know the wickedness that was in my heart before salvation. There's still some in there. He's got to correct that. But I'm just telling you now. It was wicked beyond wicked. There's things in my life, in my heart, that were in my heart my wife doesn't even know about. I tell her just about everything. My wicked heart would have drove me to turn my life from Jesus Christ. My wicked heart would have put me in hell. Not God. He chose the way. On that cross. Oh, it sounds so cliche, huh? Try it. Why are you still living in your wickedness? Why are you still living in your weakness then? If you got the answer, if it's so easy, then why don't you do it? I'm just going to tell you now, it takes a man or a woman to live a Christian life, not a weakling. Here's a weakling. That's a weakling. You got to take every drug and every drink possible to cover up every single thing you're doing in your life because your guilt is tearing you apart. Let's see how easy it is. Give me 1 week of your life to live as a Christian would. 1 week. Go ahead and try it. 1 week. Take that Bible and live and do everything it says for 1 week. Dress the way it says. Act the way it says. Go out there and tell people about Jesus Christ. Pray every day. Read every day. Do everything that it says. You tell me how hard it is in this world. I'm just telling you now. You know what it takes, brother? You know what it takes? It takes somebody created in Christ Jesus to be able to live that life. If that's not the case, then why would he have to save us? If we could do it on our own without Jesus Christ, what was the point of salvation then? Separation from God. We're born with a heart that is more deceitful above all things, including the devil. Not a wonder why Jesus has to create a new heart in us. And David understood this. Jesus looks in the heart. He knows what's in the hearts. And it is he that wants to expose the lost people so that they can see and come to him. He wants to reveal. Here's how a person gets a contrite heart. When they finally let Jesus Christ into that deepest, innermost, darkest part of their heart. Now they're going to have a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Because when he shows you what you really are and you see it, I'm just telling you now, you wish to God that you could run the opposite way. But you stand there and face it. It's life-changing. It's life-changing. It's life-changing. There's no question about it. I was reading a little thing today. A question popped in my head. How would you ever prove that the Bible is true and that it's right? And I go, gosh, you know, that's a good question. I'm pondering the thought. And Brother Haynes gave me a book of, what's it called? Illustrations. So I'm sitting there reading it. I go, let me see what they say about something like that. So I go in there and read. I'm thinking I'm going to find something corny. I'm not into reading other people's stuff. I'd just rather learn the Bible on myself. And I'm not picking on anybody who does, you do what you want to do. But so I'm reading this thing and I go, there's four pastors. They're sitting there. They're talking about which Bible, which rendition of the Bible is the best. So this one's saying, well, this one's the best, and this one's saying this one's the best. The third one comes up. So now I really like this one. So they go, well, why are you just sitting there not saying anything? He says, well, I like my mother's translation. They're like, your mother translated a Bible? He goes, yeah. She translated it right into her life, and it was the best testimony ever. That's how I prove the Bible's right. I may not be able to stand up here and tell you all the ins and outs of how a Bible was written and all that stuff, but I can tell you now, look at my life. That's how I tell you how the Bible's real. It works. Go ahead and look at this thing like it's a fairy tale. You have no clue. If I could go ahead and put a movie of my life up there, you'd be shocked at the one that's standing up here today. You know what did it? Right here. This thing is alive. This thing is real. I don't have any reason. I have no gain whatsoever to stand up here and tell you what the Lord gives me. None. Now, nobody's going to come up and pat me on my back. Nobody's going to come up and hand me $1 million and buy me a new car. I have no reason to stand up here and tell you this thing works. Except for I want you to know it works. Except for I want you to know there is hope. There's more than what you have in your life. That's right. You don't think it's possible. That's fine. You stay in that position. But know this. With man, nothing is possible. With God, all things are possible. All things. You have to stop looking at God like he's some little genie. Rub him when you want to and leave him alone when you don't want to. You're either going to take God fully for who he is or you're not going to take him at all. Because I'm going to tell you how he's going to accept you. You're either going to accept him the way he wants or you're not going to get accepted at all. There's no in between. None. God is just that good. You know why? Because he's righteous. His judgments are right. He's merciful. That's what he wants. He wants, is not willing that any man should perish, but all should come to repentance. So God's ultimate goal is for every person to see what they need to get saved. But how many are looking for it? You can talk a good game. It sounds good. It sounds good when you're out there lonely and nothing's working for you and you feel like it's it. You're at your wit's end. And hey, listen, let me tell you something. It looks all good and it sounds all good until you really try to live it. And you realize, man, I missed it. Let's see. Separation from God with a new heart. God wants to show what's going on. Then they will be sorrowful and realize that only Jesus can create in them a new heart. One that we never had before. With a new heart comes a new life with new desires and a new life that's pleasing to the Lord. Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27 says, "A new heart also will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away that stony heart of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to what?" You know what it says when a person gets saved? Let me bring this over. These are just my notes. They're blown up so I can see them because I'm not used to wearing glasses yet. Yes, I have to wear glasses. I'm a dork. I'm whatever you want me to be. I like it, though. Here's what it says. "I will give you a heart of flesh." I had a cold, stony, wicked heart. But after I got saved, he's not going to give you a heart of flesh. Now I can love. Now I can like people. Okay? It says, "And I will put my spirit within you." What happens when the spirit comes within you? "And I will cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments," and put them on the side. I listen to them once in a while. No, it says, you know what you're going to do? When God's Spirit lives in you, you're going to do them. Right here. Verse 27, Ezekiel 36, 27. "I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them." That's proof of salvation. That comes automatic. I didn't always know that verse. I didn't say, well, Ezekiel tells me that I have to do God's judgments. I have to keep his word. You know what? I didn't know that. But something in my heart, that new person in my heart, that new desire, knew that I was supposed to keep his word, knew that I was supposed to read it, knew that I was supposed to pray, knew that I was supposed to stay in church. This all became new to me. Why? Because he says, when I put your spirit within you, you will do them. Plain and simple. You will do them. That's being created in Christ Jesus. With a new heart comes a new life. You guys know this verse? 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." The Bible says we're a new creature. That means this is a new person who may look the same, is not, and it did not exist until salvation. I may look the same. I still have, look at, I'm covered in tattoos. I don't know, I got 70, 80 tattoos all over my body. When I got saved, God didn't take them away. You know, he didn't go ahead and say, well, I'm going to take them away from you. No, he saved me with them. You know why? I'm a living, walking testimony of what Jesus Christ can do to a person. I'm just telling you. I'm not some little person who just got myself in a little bit of itty trouble here and there. Let me tell you something. I went all out and I waged war on America on my own. I waged war on the system. I waged war in the prisons and jails. Let me tell you something. I've been through some things. I've seen some things and I've done some things that people just don't know. So God didn't take away my tattoos to make me look like a clean little good boy. He left me with my tattoos because I was somewhere at one time and he took me from it. I was here at one time in my life and the Lord took me from that. And he gave me a new man inside that's clean, beautiful, brand new, never existed before. Huh? That's what he gave me. I don't have to look all polished and shiny and all that, and I don't try to do that. I just look how I have to look, who I am. This is who I am now. You know, I used to wear my head totally, I mean, shaved. Bald. I got hair on my head. Really, it came from being lazy. And then I started looking. I go, gosh, I really like the way I look. And I told Amy, I said, Amy, I think I'm going to leave it. She said, why? I said, because I don't look like I'm so mean anymore. I don't want to look mean to someone. Listen, I don't have to look tough to be tough. I don't have to look tough to be tough. You know what? Being my new life, do I have to defend us anywhere? God forbid you cross the line and ever mess with my family. I'll show you what I can do. I will defend my family. But I don't have to look tough to be tough. I don't want to look mean anymore. What did it ever do for me? Can you tell me, Mom? What did it do for me? Did it do me any good?
No.
Oh, because, well, I got to beat some people up. That did me good. Oh, I'm a big tough guy. Here, put a pat on your back. Good. Let me tell you something. I got rods in my back. I got rods and stuff in my neck. You know why I can't get disability? I have to work. I'm forced to work. I can't sit home on disability. Why? Because I was a criminal. I made my money illegally. So it did me real good. You know, I had to go, when I went to college, I went to go to college a few years ago before my wife got pregnant with Amy. You know what happened? I had to sit in front of a committee. A committee. You want to talk about being put down and feel like you're belittled? I had to sit in front of a committee because they thought I was too violent to be in their college. Because they didn't know there was a new Dale. Yeah. Oh, don't think the decisions you're making now isn't going to affect you the rest of your life. I promise you it will. I promise you it will. It will affect you the rest of your life. But you know, I really didn't have a desire to want to have a family or live a good life until I got saved. Oh, nice little family. Yeah, I have a nice little family. A couple years ago, you know what we bought? We bought a double-wide trailer. That's my kingdom. That's my castle. That's something the Lord gave me and my wife. It's a home where we can pray together, be sick together, love together, cry together, and just love each other and read the Bible together. That's our home. It's not just a house. God gave us a home. That's something. You know where that all came from? Being created in Christ Jesus. Two people that were created in Christ Jesus. My wife got saved 6 months after me. Got created in Christ Jesus. Ask her. She'll give you the testimony of her not liking her kids. She loved them, but she did not like her kids. After salvation, guess what? Ask her if she likes them today. I'm just telling you. God changes things in people's lives. Created in Christ Jesus, a new heart. He said, a new heart I will give you. I will put a new spirit within you. And that stony heart, I will give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit in you, cause you to walk in this. Why? Because you have a new heart and because you're a new person. He will cause you to walk in his statutes and keep his judgments and do them. He will cause us to do them, and it will happen, and a new heart and a new life and does new things that God causes us to do because he made us new. There are what being created in Christ Jesus brings to a believer. These are just some of the things. I couldn't get to everything. There's so many other things. If you read the Word of God, when it tells you that you were created in Christ Jesus, go look at what God creates in a new believer. Go look at all the stuff. Look at it. And you know what? Compare it. Gosh, did he do that for me? Is he doing that for me? You know, he wants you to search out the Scriptures. That's what he says. And I think I got one more and I'm done. It says, we are created for these things, as we see in Ephesians 4:24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Ephesians 2:9 says, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath foreordained before that we should walk in them. It is not by our works or what we do, but when we were created in Christ Jesus. This is why man cannot and should not boast. It is Jesus that done this to me and not myself. I stand here before you today and says, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. I think I might have that message here today. When a Christian is, every Christian is called to something. Every Christian is called to holiness and separation. Why? Because you've been created in Christ Jesus. You've been called out to what you used to be into the new man that you are. And so therefore, at the 11 o'clock, I'm going to go into what happens when a person is saved. We understand that we're a new creature, but we're all called into something. We all have something that God has called us into, and that's what I'm going to go to at the 11.